Hey, everybody. A wonderful episode here with a dear friend and teacher, Dennis Prager. We cover many topics here, including 4 years since 15 Days to Slow the Spread. This is an insightful, wisdom-filled conversation. Text it to your friends and enjoy it. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with members. If you'd like to ask me a question directly and be involved with our members program, it's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's a great honor to have for the full hour a friend and a mentor and a teacher of mine, Dennis Prager. Dennis, welcome back to the program.
Well, I am honored to be in that category in your life, I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
I listen to you frequently. I will say, I know you have spoken with more people than anybody alive, but I think I have the honor of listening to more of your non-radio content than anybody alive. I think that I might win that award.
To the best of my knowledge, that would be accurate. I would like to see a contest, actually, but I to the best of my knowledge, that is correct. And again, I'm honored. Really, I want people to understand this is not pablum. If I have touched Charlie Kirk, then I have touched millions of people. I mean, aside from my affection for Charlie, it means that my ideas will now go to so many more people. I will not be on this earth forever. He is much younger than I am. It is a wonderful sense that what I stand for will be carried on. So you mean a lot to me, Charlie.
Thank you. And Dennis, it is you were at the top of my mind because I was going through some memories, and it's been 4 years since the lockdown craze. And I really believe you never, and you still haven't received the credit you deserve for your courage and moral clarity, because a lot of people look back and they say, oh, you know, I was against the lockdowns. And my question is always, when were you against the lockdowns? Dennis, I pulled up this article. It's not easy to find, by the way, on Google, go figure, but I found it. The worldwide lockdown may be the greatest mistake in history. Dennis, you were early, you were clear on the lockdowns. 4 years later, walk us through.
What date does it show?
It says May 5th, 2020. For the record, you were saying it, though, at least a month before.
In April.
Yes.
That's right.
So the publication date is actually deceiving, in my opinion.
Thank you.
But Dennis, you deserve great credit, please. And walk through that chapter, because we should not forget it.
It's actually an important question you're asking, because if I can explain, and I can, how I arrived at that conclusion, if people adopt this methodology, they're much more likely to find truth, because it's very hard today to know what is true. So in no order of importance, but I will begin with this. I always ask, what is the price? That, by the way, is a defining characteristic of conservatism as opposed to leftism. And I'm not the first to make that point, but it is very deep in my psyche. When you ask, is there a price? What is the price? You are immediately saying, wait a minute, as good as it may sound, what's the downside? Everything has a downside. Even the greatest things in the world. I am passionately pro-marriage. I am passionately pro-children. But to deny that there are downsides, there are prices paid, of course there are prices paid. In personal freedom, as just one example. Is it worth it? Of course it's worth it. But a mature person does not deny prices paid. So I asked, wait a minute. We are closing down societies all over the world. Are there prices paid? And then I did research. And I have no ability to find things that the regular person cannot find. I did go on the same internet that anybody else does. And I read about starvation. And I read about massive unemployment. And I read about massive boredom. And I wrote about kids having no interaction with other kids. And I thought, whoa, is that worth it? For what exactly? After all, you can go to Target. You can go and buy marijuana. So, and by the way, do you remember? I mean, this should have been the giveaway, Charlie, when the medical community announced, we don't want anybody to be close to one another, let alone in the tens of thousands. But if they're demonstrating against racism, that's a health benefit. Remember that?
I think that is where some people started to ask questions. But you were before that, though, Dennis.
Yes. So number one, I asked the price. Right. Number two, very long ago, you were probably in kindergarten. When I began to, you may not have been bored, actually. When I began to be completely unintimidated by the word expert. Generally speaking, experts say triggers in me the following. It's probably not correct. And by the way, God knows I stand justified in that tragically, because experts have been taken over by ideology, not by expertise. So that combination made me realize the price paid is so much greater. It's like all what we're doing to prevent the global warming. The price is so much greater than whatever good will be accomplished.
Yes.
So those were among the things that led me to believe this. And by the way, the starvation issue, because I wrote about that. It's like people don't seem to care much about what policies will hurt people in the third world, like all the environmental policy. They're crushing the third world. They need cheap energy, just like we did, to develop. And we're telling them, don't utilize fossil fuel, the cheapest energy that exists, while we do.
And so Dennis, when you wrote this article, I remember you say that some people attacked you and criticized you because your language was
some?
Very... Yeah. Well, people you care about. Like, let's say fellow intellectuals, because you say...
Oh.
Worst mistake in history. Can you explain that title? Because that is quite a statement.
Yeah. Well, I did explain it. In fact, I wrote a column immediately after the tweet. I wrote a column and I spoke about it, and I made it clear, and I made it clear on my radio show over and over and over. By mistake, I mean mistake. I don't mean evil. I didn't say it was worse than the Holocaust. I didn't say it was worse than Mao's slaughter of 60 million Chinese. I said it was the worst mistake. The Holocaust wasn't a mistake. It was an evil. Mao was not a mistake. It was an evil. Stalin was an evil. So people conflated the two, whereas I think any normal person understands that there is a difference between mistake and evil. So that's number one. I want to make that clear now. Just and I made it clear then. One just has to read what I wrote at the time, or have access to my radio show, which is accessible, actually. Program called Pragertopia. Get all my shows since 2010, and I made it clear. Also, I added the word international. There was no equivalent international error, like the international error over lockdowns. Oh, and by the way, I think I should add there was another factor, but I don't know at what point it became clear to me, and this was dispositive for me, Sweden. If you'd have told me at any time in my life, I would look to Sweden as the moral model on earth, I would have thought you had been really imbibing a great deal of substance. But Sweden, I have to give credit where it is due. They never locked down. They never closed the school for kids under 16.
Yes.
Not one day. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If lockdowns are saving lives, why aren't Swedish teachers and children dropping dead?
Hey, everyone. Charlie Kirk here. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this program, which is why I'm so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. So keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use offer code Charlie. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie and free activation using offer code Charlie. So Dennis, I have, as you know, carefully studied and listened to every fireside chat. There is a fireside chat a couple years ago, I'm looking for the number, where, and I'm paraphrasing, and I think you'll allow me to paraphrase, but the essence was that you were bragging on the American medical system. In particular, you said that, you know, free markets and competition are good, and I know you still believe in that, but you were careful not to criticize the American healthcare system. This was well before COVID. I know your views might have changed, and I say that with some hesitancy. Have they changed, Dennis, your view of American healthcare?
There are two specific issues. First, my view of the American medical profession has radically changed, and entirely for the worse. And I can't tell you how painful this is, A, because my brother, whom I love, is a professor of medicine, so it's there are personal reasons this is a painful statement. I know how, what a man of honesty and integrity he is. But the profession writ large, it's been taken over by the left. American Medical Association, as I point out all the time, announced a few years ago that no birth certificate should list the sex of a newborn. That's mind-boggling. That the AMA has bought the lie that you're not a boy or a girl when you're born. The Academy of Pediatrics, I think it's called, how they have gotten on board, like mutilating children, hormone blockers at the age of 10, 12. The profession has... I'm sure you've seen, Charlie, did you see the University of Minnesota Medical School?
Yes.
The oath that they took, it was like an oath that the Communist Youth League would have taken in the Soviet Union. The medical profession, the way they came out against ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, at worst, they're useless. At best, they could save millions of lives, which is, I came to believe the latter. A great, great man who has passed away from cancer, Victor Zelenko.
Yes.
Vladimir Zelenko, an Orthodox Jewish doctor in Brooklyn, New York. I had him on at the height, the very beginning and at the height of the COVID crisis. And he told me, and I believed him, he was saving lives with hydroxychloroquine and zinc. It was inconceivable to me that he was lying. Inconceivable. Because he had no reason to, there was no money for him to make. There was no fame or fortune in it. And given that he was a bearded Chabad,
yes.
It's a wonderful sect. I know these people.
And treating fellow believers, might I add. Yes.
That's right. Yes. Obviously, anybody who came to him, but generally he was within the ultra-Orthodox community. And so that opened my eyes. And by the way, I went on ivermectin and I went on hydroxychloroquine and zinc. And I never got vaccinated. COVID, which I had twice, was much, much less than a bad cold. It was less than I continued broadcasting. I don't know how he came to my attention, but this bearded Orthodox Jewish, I think he was also a rabbi, but it doesn't matter, doctor in New York was saving lives. I think with the vast number of people who came to him with COVID, I think one might have died. And in the meantime, they were intubating people in hospitals. They were having people die with nobody allowed to visit them. It struck me. See, I'm a big believer in common sense. I don't know as much about molecules and mitochondria and Golgi bodies as a doctor. I fully acknowledge that. But you don't have to. God or nature has granted the human being the ability to think clearly without a level of expertise of the detail. Otherwise, none of us could think about anything except people in that profession. But by the way, I didn't mention this. You'll love this. As soon as I hear the word epidemiologist, I assume if they go public, they're not telling the truth. I assume it. I know that it's not always true. And I learned it from secondhand smoke. The gigantic lie about secondhand smoke killing, not hurting people with asthma, that I accept, killing 50,000 Americans a year. I knew it was a lie the day I heard it. I know it is a lie today. Epidemiologists are people with dogma. I don't even know how much epidemiology itself is a science. It's sort of a study of data. So when I heard, epidemiologists say this about COVID versus a guy who's saving lives about COVID, who do you think I'm going to believe? The guy who's saving lives. That was Zelenko. So that opened me up to another. The medical profession is a catastrophe. It has been my motto in life. Everything the left touches, it destroys. Yes. And the medical profession and science generally is the latest victim.
Let's play this piece of tape that you mentioned. Minnesota. This is University of Minnesota. This is some sort of a ceremony of them becoming medical professionals. Play cut 64, please.
Our institution is located on Dakota land. Today, many indigenous people throughout the state, including Dakota and Ojibwe, call the Twin Cities home. We also recognize this acknowledgement is not enough. We commit to uprooting the legacy and perpetuation of structural violence deeply embedded within the healthcare system. We recognize inequities built by past and present traumas rooted in white supremacy, colonialism, the gender binary, ableism, and all forms of oppression. As we enter this profession with opportunity for growth, we commit to promoting a culture of anti-racism, listening, and amplifying voices for positive change. We pledge to honor all indigenous ways of healing that have been historically marginalized by Western medicine. Knowing that health is intimately connected to our environment, we commit to healing our planet and communities. We vow to embrace our role as community members and strive to embody cultural humility. We promise to continue restoring trust in the medical system and fulfilling our responsibilities as educators and advocates. We commit to collaborating with social, political, and additional systems to advance health equity.
So, Dennis, what is so chilling about that clip for me is that I thought for years that the woke, the left, they would not be overly successful in capturing the American medical system because there are built-in defense systems where you have to go where the data leads you. But it seems as if no one is immune from the left's takeover. Dennis, please continue.
That's correct. Look, as you know, and many know, but not everyone, certainly not even all your listeners, my field of study, which I almost now think is sort of divine stroke of good fortune, was leftism. I was one of seven students in all of Columbia University to major in what was called communist affairs. I learned Russian in order to read the Soviet communist newspaper. I went to communist countries regularly. And I never, ever dawned on, I didn't even imagine it, that what I'm learning now about communism will be applicable in the United States of America. It didn't dawn on me any more than there's an old Jewish saying, if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a trolley car. But she didn't have wheels, so it wasn't a trolley car. America loved freedom. It can't go the way the Soviet Union and other communist countries go. But sure enough, it has. And we have an I know of two existential threats to the West because of the left and to Israel because of its neighbor. Those are the two real existential threats. I don't believe global warming is an existential threat. I don't believe Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. So pick your existential threat.
Dennis, reflecting on the last 4 years since 15 Days or So the Spread, it was shocking to me how long it took for us to push back against the lockdowns and then the vaccines. What did that confirm or teach you about human nature?
Confirm. It taught me nothing. You know me well.
I know. That's why I asked it that way.
That's why you added confirm.
That's
I
right.
I know you and you know me.
I had other people I would have said teach, but...
No, there are things that I've learned in the last 4 years, but it confirmed. So first it confirms that courage is the rarest of the good human traits. I've said all of my life, how many churches, how many synagogues bent their knee to secular authority? And they're paying the price because they all acknowledge, I was with a pastor the other day, people aren't coming back.
Yes.
I mean, obviously some are, but a lot are not. Oh, you know what? It's pretty relaxing to stay in bed on Sunday morning. I learned that during COVID because my wimp of a pastor shut the church. I'm very angry about that.
You should.
I'll tell you why I'm angry about it. If we can't rely on rabbis, priests, and ministers to have courage, we're doomed.
Yes.
They're supposed to answer to God. That's their task. That's their only task. I mean, that's frankly, it's my only task too, and your only task. But nevertheless, they get paid to answer to God. And they answer to Fauci and to Newsom and to whatever governor or mayor told them, shut down. Oh, Target's open. Marijuana stores are open, but churches have to shut down. Okay, of course. Of course. Health uber alles. That was my motto. That's why it confirms. I have been saying health uber alles for 25 years. It comes from the German fascist
Deutschland line,
über Deutschland uber alles. Germany above all. We have health above all. Gesund uber alles, to keep it in German. So, number one, it confirmed that the lack of courage. There were obviously some rabbis, priests, and ministers who were not wimps, but very few. And Look, it is what it is. Let's not deny it. Let's not rewrite history. They fooled around with their divine calling.
Yes.
Which is a disgrace. Eric Metaxas has written about this. God bless him.
I think it's a sin of the Ten Commandments to carry evil in the name of God. The world is in flames, and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out. Promo code Charlie. Dennis, would you agree that they carried the name of God in vain when they did that?
Yeah. Yes. But first, I think people need to understand what you're referring to.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I'm at a different. I'm at an elevated doctorate level of
yes,
Craigerism.
So let me just quickly explain. So I've written a commentary on Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I'm working on Leviticus, and Charlie has listened to 240 hours of my teachings on this. Now I've now done it in principle, the Rational Bible. So I know Biblical Hebrew. Certainly, there are two Hebrews in the Old Testament. They're very much related, but they're different. The vocabulary, the prophetic, and the pre-prophets. So I know pre-prophetic Biblical Hebrew like English, and that obviously helped. So when the translation of the 10th in the Ten Commandments of the Third Commandment, depending on how you enumerate them, is do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The literal Hebrew is do not lift or carry. It's clear. The Hebrew is clear. That's the word, Esau. No Hebrew, not many, but it means to carry. Who carries God's name in vain? Someone who does the opposite of what God wants, evil, in God's name. And that is the only sin that God says he will not forgive. When you do bad in his name. An atheist who does evil is not as bad as a religious person who does evil. I believe that, by the way.
And I think your argument... No, keep going, please. Yeah, I agree with you.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I think the book of Leviticus proves the point that if you're in the administration of the holy, there's different rules, and you must be separate. That you're not like the rest. You wear different clothes. You have different rituals. You have different diet. I mean, it's the idea
and there's another reason. That's absolutely correct. But there is another reason. When the atheist commits evil, he doesn't destroy the possibility of the good world, which is only available by taking God's morality seriously. When the religious person does evil in God's, he not only does the evil, which is bad enough, but he destroys people's ability to take God seriously. So it's a double whammy, as it were. Anyway, so you're asking about the clergy who shut down their churches and synagogues. They, of course, thought they were doing good. But it was overwhelmingly a lack of courage, because all they had to say was, "Hey, listen, I'm not even going to go to synagogue. I won't even go to church because I don't want to endanger my family, my parents, my community. But we are not closing down.
Yes,
this place will be open for those of you who wish to come and pray and study the Bible. But to shut it down, you can't come." That was really bad.
And Dennis, I think you were and are uniquely positioned to speak about this for many reasons. You love freedom, and not just passive. You rent a car every time you land, for example. You can't stand, taxis or Ubers. The but not
or being picked up.
No, that's
the,
right.
That's the, yeah, right.
I know. I know it very well. And so, yeah. So Dennis, but not everybody loves freedom. You make a very astute point that people don't naturally want to be free. The Bible makes this point repeatedly, as you taught me. And during the lockdowns, which is an important distinction, lockdowns versus COVID, and they get conflated far too often, we learned that, unfortunately, in America, we might be past the 50% mark, I don't know, where more people will value comfort over liberty.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, talking to you, I feel like you're just the gentleman because you know exactly what I'm going to say. Which,
but the audience might not. So that's
yes, that's right. Which is obviously yes. But as you point out, that I point out, again, it's why I've written this commentary on the first five books, because everything is there. And if you understand those five books, you understand Judaism, Christianity, the West, human nature, men and women. And here's just one example. So the Israelites leave Egypt. God brings 10 plagues. God splits the sea. God gives them manna from heaven or from wherever to feed them in the wilderness. And what is the first thing they do? They say, let's go back to Egypt. The food was better. But they were slaves in Egypt.
They had meat.
The lesson is staggering. People prefer to be well-fed slaves than they do to struggle to get food. I don't mean starve, God forbid. Of course you don't want to starve. But they rather have an effortless life as a slave. Free health care, free food. What's so bad? And that's what they have opted for. Because the more you allow the state to take care of you, the less free a human being you are. This country was founded on this rare idea that the individual wants to take care of himself and his family and his community and not have the state take care of him. Because you it's a deal with the devil. You take my soul, I get your benefits. When schools announced in California they were going to give kids lunch and breakfast at school, I adamantly opposed it. It's a parent's task,
yes,
to feed their children. Damn it.
Dennis,
what kind of parent are you if you can't give your kid breakfast and lunch?
That's right. And it's the goal of the leftists and the state to try to weaken parents and to have them not do their job or have to be involved. Dennis, to go back to how we started the conversation about your column, The Worst Mistake in History, you were right. And I want to go through the list here. And it's the damage that we are going to have to recover from will be multi-generational. We don't have to spend too much time on this, but the amount of debt that was incurred because of the lockdowns, anywhere between $10 to $12 trillion in debt, the political issues from mail-in ballots and the distrust of our election system, the economic displacement of the businesses that went under that will never come back, the once great cities that were already tipping but were completely obliterated, like Seattle and Portland and San Francisco and LA and New York. Dennis, I'm confident I could predict how you will answer this, but I want you to humor at least me and our audience. Has anyone ever apologized? And I think that's an important question.
So I wrote in the 1980s, it's in print, I wrote a column called Being on the Left Means Never Having to Say You're Sorry. Does that answer your question?
Well, but tell us why. But that's what is it about? Is it because they're in power, because they control everything? Or is it?
No, it is because the self-image of a left is of a kind and wise. And their image of those who oppose them is that we're threats to democracy. We're fascists, racists, xenophobes, homophobes, transphobes, Islamophobes. We're everything bad. So if they apologize, that means the bad guys were right and the good guys were wrong, that's too much cognitive dissonance.
Despite, obviously, the damage, the destruction, the horror, and let's focus on one element of it. Dennis, you predicted that the millennial Gen Z generation will be the most alcohol-addicted, drug-addicted, suicidal, and depressed generation in history, and it will only get worse because of the lockdowns. That is true, and it shows no signs of improving. Can you separate for our audience how you think of the COVID versus lockdowns? I think that distinction is very important.
So when you ask me that question, what do you have in mind? The lockdowns were ostensibly because of COVID. Is that what you're saying?
No, but the lockdowns were unnecessary, but the language still to this day, if you read, for example, I'll be more clear. CNN says the last couple days, young people are committing suicide at record rates. Experts say COVID is to blame, right? Because of COVID.
Yeah, oh, God, that's right. So
you get what I'm saying now, yes.
Yeah, oh, they are, totally, yes. So please understand, and I'm saying this, I know you do, but I want all your listeners to, conservatives have adopted their language. They say because of COVID. No, never say that. Always say because of lockdown. That's critical. These things are not happening because of COVID. They're happening because of lockdown. You're right. I mean, now I understand your original question. There is a huge distinction. COVID was the reason for the lockdown, but lockdowns were not a necessary response, as Sweden proved. But it is worse than that. I didn't know, although I knew not to take the vaccine, and I never did. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Because a dear person in my life dropped dead from it.
Mm-hmm.
The number of healthy young people dying from this, and now just the latest report, the massive increase in cancers in young people.
Dennis, it's everywhere. And doctors, they can't figure out why. Colon cancer, pancreas.
They don't want to figure out why. That's what I see, the corruption of the medical profession. Doctors should be announcing to the American people, we made a mistake. We should never have pushed you to give kids vaccines. It was a horrible mistake we made. And in this, for the sake of your trust in us as doctors, we want you to know we blew it. Then people will have respect for them. But they're still hiding it.
Not only are they hiding it, they're still forcing it at over 60 universities. You must get the shot, including the booster and all the updated rollouts from the CDC and the FDA. And they're adamant. And it is growing, Dennis, I will say, it is harder and harder for them to cover this up. The turbo cancers, the fatality rate, the amount of young people that are suffering. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. You might be wondering why some of my age is talking to you about an organization that's been associated with older generation. And no, I don't mean the radical AARP. It's because preserving the foundation of our nation and promoting conservative values isn't just for seniors. It's for all Americans, regardless of age. That's why I want to talk to you about the other organization, AMAC. Yes, they champion issues that are critical to the senior community, but their mission and impact go way beyond that, offering incredible benefits and opportunities for conservatives of every age. Joining AMAC means you aren't only supporting advocacy for older Americans, you're also becoming part of a larger movement to protect our freedoms and ensure our nation endures for generations to come. Plus, here's the fun part, you'll enjoy member-only benefits and discounts on things like travel, food, theme parks, movie tickets, special car insurance rates, and more. The bottom line is that our fight for conservative values need fresh energy and wisdom and experience. So whether you're young and looking to make a difference or a seasoned patriot with an undying passion for freedom, AMAC is your home. Join today at amac.us/Kirk. Go and get a membership for your parents too and your grandparents for only $16 a year. It's the best way to play a crucial role in securing the future for all Americans. Do not wait. Join AMAC now at amac.us/Kirk. Dennis, I want you to comment on one element. You say at the beginning, you always ask the question, what is the price? That is the sign of a mature conservative individual. What is the price? What is the price? Some people during the lockdowns, they claimed they were asking the price. In fact, quote, one person on television said, if only one person dies, that is too much. It is a tragedy. Dennis, you found a great objection to this line of argumentation that if one person passes away, we all must sit at home. Can you elaborate on it? Because it's not just the question of what is the price, it's how we think about the price.
Well, that was Andrew Cuomo, right? That was his line. He was the hero of the American left, presidential timber. If everything I am doing will save one life, it is worth it. And I as soon as he said it, I mean, this was at the height of massive death reports from New York City. I said, that is beyond belief absurd. As I pointed out then, just to give one simple example, theoretically, if you enforce a 30 mile per hour speed limit on all highway, you will have fewer deaths. Is it worth it? When do you make policy based on if we can save one life? Perhaps if we abandon the automobile altogether, we will save a life. But this is the health uber alles. But this is, let me say something. It is fundamental to know this. You cannot think clearly and be a left. It is not possible. You can be a liberal. You can be a conservative. You cannot be a left. Their coherent thought is unavailable. It is an immature statement. If everything we have done has saved one life, it is worth it. Then you basically have to end everything that causes a death, right? Wouldn't you have to do that? If we abandon the airplane, nobody will die in an air crash. So what can one say? I return to my philosophical outlook on life. I have such small expectations of human beings that I don't go crazy. It's in my book on happiness, a chapter on expectation. The fewer your expectations, the happier you will be.
Happiness is a serious problem. Dennis, I do want to plug the book and talk about it. Please continue, Dennis.
In terms of personal happiness and sanity even, my expectations of human beings is essentially zero. Andrew Cuomo didn't disappoint. He confirmed my belief that humans are unimpressive. But there are some terrific human being individuals. So I've been to 130 countries, been abroad every single year since I was 18 years of age, and except for 2020, because it was not possible to do so. It was not even easy in 2021, but I went to Hungary and to Slovakia and the Czech Republic to give speeches. And by the way, how I got in is you'll crack up if you need to hear a funny story another time. But in my very early travels, I came home and I told my close friend that, you know what? I have contempt and compassion for humanity. And it's never changed. The ease with which people deceive and are deceived, the lack of courage, lack of seriousness, lack of inquiry, the lack of self-control, these don't surprise me. So what I saw happening, I'll tell you the only thing that really was sad, really sad, that's always true. What was really sad was that it was America. Charlie, I've had a love affair with this country since I could really think seriously. I mean, a love affair. Whatever love entails emotionally and psychologically and intellectually, I have had for this country. So I fell into a trap, my own trap. I expected more from my fellow American. This was a painful period. It remains a painful period. 45% of young people don't believe in free speech or hate speech. And that means they don't believe in
Dennis,
free speech.
I want you to answer this a very pointed question. How did you maintain your happiness during it? I know that it might be a simple question for you to answer, but it's a very important question.
It is. So one thing I have prepared myself for disappointment because of my view of human nature. That's a very big deal. I wasn't hit over the head. I was only hit over the head with the American failure. I expected more from Americans, but
I did too.
That was a big factor. Number two, I have tremendous amount of happiness in my personal life with my wife, my children, my friends, my religion. I mean, I have shock absorbers that are really strong and thick. And between those two, macro lack of expectations and micro joy, I was able to do it. But it's watching this great experiment in human liberty move towards the Soviet model, watching judges act like Soviet judges, saying that a candidate whom they don't like cannot be on a ballot. Ooh, this is scary stuff. So let me just say to those of your lucky listeners, you're a real asset to this country. I hope they will read my Bible commentary.
It's life-changing. I don't say that lightly. It is life-changing.
Yes, it is meant to be. It's called the Rational Bible. There are three volumes out. The fourth volume is coming out this year. Fifth volume next. Thank you, Mike.
Dennis, God bless you, and I will end by how I started. You deserve credit, and that should build your credibility moving forward when people are looking for guidance, when it looks as if it's super confusing. But go back to see who got it right when almost everybody got it wrong. Dennis, thank you so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.